魂の火が胸を刺すなら、言葉よりもっと強い響きが今聞こえるか。Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. Hello. My name is Mark, and as usual, I'm joined by Miles. Hello, Miles.
Hello.
Miles, over here. I'm over here.
Huh?
He'll figure it out. We're also joined by Jackie. Hello, Jackie.
Hey.
Jackie, how's it going?
I'm a little tired, but I'm good.
You gotta power through.
Yeah.
Push through.
Why didn't you ask me how I'm doing?
Mark doesn't want to know how you're doing.
You're always doing your bit of like trying to derail me and stuff. It's like, you know what? I don't really care. I don't care.
All right.
He's fine with it. We're also joined by a special guest. I think you're a special guest at this point because you're a recurring
like a
guest, but it's been too long. We're joined by Chicas. Hello, Chicas.
What up, nerds?
Oh, man.
You're all nerds.
And we're all here to eventually talk about Soul Eater, and we had Chicas on just incidentally. Said, why not have Chicas on? We're not watching Soul Eater because she said we have to do Soul Eater or I'm leaving. That didn't happen.
I had never heard of Soul Eater.
That's right. We are doing it because of a Patreon pick, because since this is not JoJo, we have a Patreon where you can spend money to make us watch an anime if you're choosing. And that is why, thanks to Christian, we'll be talking about Soul Eater. But Chicas, I'm curious, have you watched much anime in between now and whenever you were last on this podcast?
Nope.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm sorry. I know that's not an interesting answer.
I thought maybe you would have like gone back and started like from the beginning. Like you would have been like, I have to watch Astro Boy and then I'm going to understand what the whole thing is with that country and their feelings about like atomic energy after World War II, but no.
Okay, so I have watched Akira in the time.
It's so good.
Since I saw you last, which was very good.
Oh, I did make you watch that.
Yes, that was quite good.
Should have had you on for that episode. That was like a month or so ago.
I think I watched it. Go ahead, Miles.
I told her to watch it after I had watched it, and she came to visit. And I was like, you should watch Akira, but I just watched it, so I don't want to watch it with you.
That's amazing.
But yeah, Akira was very good. I don't know if this counts, but I'm very excited and only a little hopeful for the Avatar, the live-action Avatar show that's coming out.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone has more faith now because the One Piece live-action was decent.
And I feel like they've released the casting for Avatar and like people are not up in arms immediately like they were with the last one. So that's positive.
Yeah, because the last live action Avatar thing, that was the M. Night Shyamalan bullshit fest, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Why do they do that? I don't get it.
But yeah, not much other than that.
Okay. Well, I would recommend some of the later seasons of JoJo as well. We have to do that. We have to recommend JoJo.
I also want to get into Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon's great.
I hear Sailor Moon is great.
Yeah.
You think so, Mark?
I like it.
A big moon head.
Okay.
Why'd you look so skeptical?
Sailor. Well, because what do you know about Sailor Moon, Mark?
I've seen episodes of it.
Okay.
And I like it.
Okay.
That's all.
Do you want to watch all of it with me?
Sure.
I'll watch all of it with you.
Let's do it.
Okay, Chicas. The three of us are watching Sailor Moon. Wait, which one though? The old one or the new one?
I trust your judgment.
She doesn't know.
Me?
No, Chicas doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
I did not know there was an old one or a new one.
I would watch either. The old one is like the 90s one that's really long. The new one, there's like a remake that's like really pretty. Chicas, you just look at the art style of both and figure out which one you like better.
Okay.
Yeah, the new one's called Sailor Moon Crystal.
Mmm.
Yeah. They also have a live action one of those.
I think Crystal is supposed to follow the manga more, but it's like still coming out. Whereas like the original 90s one, that's like the classic one. And there's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, because they go into like the weirder, like the outer Senshi and then like the even more obscure characters, I think, in the original series. They get out there.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I think
in a good way or in a like granular way, like too granular.
I don't know. I think some of these mangas, like, they go so long that either they sometimes boomerang around and you're like, that's actually a really good arc, or you're like, what the fuck are these people? I don't care
anymore. I think the show starts to grow up.
What am I even watching?
The show starts to grow up a little bit with later arcs, but then it gets like there's like crazy like time and like time travel and stuff like that. I feel like I just want to watch the like time, like some specific arcs with time travel and scary
stuff.
I would
be down for that. Targeted watching might be best.
Yeah.
Targeted watching.
I like that. Because I've tried rewatching it and it's a lot, you know? Yeah. Like, it can kind of become like, especially in the beginning, there's a lot of like monster of the week kind of stuff. It's like, oh no. It's like someone got a new job and like, oh, it turns out her boss is a demon, you know?
This sounds good.
Same thing happened on Buffy.
Yeah. And Buffy is very monster of the week too. It's the same thing.
Sounds like a light novel. Like, oh no, I got fired. And at my new job, my boss is a demon. Every word capitalized 110 pages for some reason. All right. So before we talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Soul Eater, I mentioned our Patreon before, but you can go to patreon.com/JJBpod to support the show for as little as $1 a month. You won't even notice it's gone. That gets you access to the Patreon feed, which includes audio that is removed from the main podcast feed episodes, Miles' weekly cultural reference newsletter, and more. In addition to that, if you pledge at the $3 level, we will thank you out loud by your display name of choice on the podcast, which we'll do in just a minute. Because I also want to tell you that if you do 1 month at the $15 level, you can tell us to make an episode of our podcast about your anime. Like, not an anime you made, an anime that you like or hate, whatever.
Can it be an anime they've made?
I guess it could be.
Yeah.
It'd be so awkward, though, if it was really not great. And we had to be like, cool.
Like, maybe you were crunched for time here, and that's why the animation looked like shit.
I
trying to find excuses for them, like, well, the writing is really bad, but you know, maybe, you know, you're just not a writer and that's okay.
The music cues are fantastic, though.
I like that all the characters sound like your parents, probably. I think that's who that would be. Yeah, that's patreon.com/JJBpod. Let's say thank you to some wonderful people.
In song.
Thank you, Colin.
Hentai homie.
I love JoJo. Ooh, woo.
Daniel.
Beautiful.
Dalton.
Kasun.
Miles.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Kenny.
Mirror Man.
Tim.
Miles.
Tim.
Hello?
Miles,
can you not hear that?
No, I can't.
Oh, is this because my voice is so high and beautiful?
I guess so.
Okay, well, I did it.
Did you say, Tim? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right.
This is a nightmare. Martin.
Aquosis.
This is my favorite thing.
Christian.
And Chad. Very good. All right. Thanks again, everybody. And yeah, this is out of order, but now we're going to talk about emails that people sent to us. If you write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com, you too can have your email read on the podcast.
This email is from Joshua. The subject line is game recommendation. Hey guys, for the last few weeks, I haven't been doing great, but listening to your older episodes of the podcast has really cheered me up. Something that has also been very fun is playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. It's a fantastic game, and I wanted to ask if you had played TOTK or any of the other Zelda games. If you didn't, I highly recommend checking them out. Of course, I don't know if you already talked about this since I haven't been listening to any of your new non-JoJo episodes. I hope you all have an amazing day. Joshua. Thank you, Joshua.
Yeah, thanks for writing, Joshua.
What a nice little email. I think we all have heard of Zelda. I think we all have heard.
I hope you do better soon.
Yeah, I hope you feel better. I hope you do better.
Yeah, feel better.
I fell off of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
I did too, and I don't exactly know why, because I can commend like every aspect of that game, but also I'm busy.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
It's kind of overwhelming.
Y'all have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me think about how I don't have enough time left, you know?
There is a lot of time.
The thing is, our generation is going to be like, well, maybe Gen X maybe probably will be the same. But I think en masse, millennials, when they retire, are going to be like the most annoying gamer people. Or like even when the kids are out of the house, there's going to be just like a bunch of 50-something year olds like trying to get back into games.
All of the N64s are going to end up in retirement homes.
They're all, yeah, that's probably true too, actually. Hell yeah. I was about to say, oh no, and then I thought about it and said, yeah, like think about how much easier it's going to be to entertain, like nowadays for these old people, you have to like have a song and a singer and a piano player and shit come out there. We're not going to need that.
But I'm just thinking about like, if you have Alzheimer's, will you still be able to play games or no?
I think like maybe the ones that you grew up with.
Okay.
You know, if you were playing as a kid, sometimes that's the stuff that stays around.
I'm going to be the guy in the Twilight Zone who breaks his fingers while gardening. And I'll say, there was finally time.
There was time now. That's not fair. Have I talked about
gardening so hard?
I don't know. I should have been gaming so hard.
Yeah, that's a good way to break your fucking fingers. Have I talked here about how that episode is so funny to me because they like think he's such an annoying bum because he's reading books when he's supposed to be working?
Yeah.
Loser.
Like, they're not as addictive.
He's not doing his job.
We have 100% talked about that episode before on this podcast.
It's an important piece of American media. I think you should know that reference.
I feel like that episode comes up a lot with you specifically, though. I don't know. I don't know what that says about you or the episode.
Miles loves...
anticipating future regret.
Apparently.
Yeah. I do the same.
Anyway, my favorite Zelda game is A Link to the Past.
A Link to the Past is good. It's probably a better game than Ocarina of Time, but Ocarina of Time is very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack is great.
I understand that.
I played Ocarina of Time for the first time like 3 years ago, 4 years. No, it was pre-pandemic, so it was longer than that ago. Time means nothing. But it was a fantastic game. I wish I had played it as a child for the first time. I was sad to have played it as an adult.
That's great.
Sad adult. But at least you played it. That's good.
It's true. It's true.
I also had to check this emailer's email address because I was worried that it was going to be like joshua@nintendo.com. He's just sending us an advertisement.
Like, hey.
Have you heard?
This game that everyone's been playing? Like, wait a minute.
All the young children are talking about it.
You can use Nintendo's game voucher system to save $10. Thanks, Joshua.
All the youths use their thumbs to play.
Okay, this email's from Christian, and the subject line is Soul Eater. The anime you guys are covering this week means a lot to me personally. I watched it when I was 14, along with other shows like Trigun and Bleach. I went back and read the manga in the past 2 years and thought that the ending that the author came up with was better than what they did at the end of the show, albeit not that much better. The final thing I have for you guys is that I know for a fact that they toned down the mummy scene with the sisters in the anime. The manga is so much worse in terms of being overly brutal and objectifying. Sorry to end up on a downer point, but take care and be safe, everyone. Christian.
Christian's like, hey. I just wrote in to tell you about sexism and objectification. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah.
It's Christian.
Look, the alternative is like, what is it, Goblin Slayer that starts with like a really fucked up scene and everyone who watches that is like, I don't want to watch the show anymore. It was pretty good, the show that we did see. Not the scene. Never mind. Moving on.
Okay.
You loved it.
It's a cartoon, you know? It's not a documentary.
Can't objectify women in a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, this show loves to do that, I will say. But yeah, that's what happens when you read the manga of an anime, then you can't help but be like, in the comic book, this theme was different.
Yeah.
And you know you sound like that, but you don't care. It doesn't matter. This last email is from Chad. The subject line is, this is the ideal early 2000s shonen anime. You may not like it, but this is what peak postmodern shonen anime looked like. Aloha JJB Pod Ohana. I don't know if the subject to this email is correct, but my whole time watching Soul Eater, I couldn't help but think, this is so very early 2000s. I mean, it had some fun moments, but I guess I'd have to keep watching to see why it's got as much of a fan base as it does. Anyway, here are some voice connections. The worst or best assassin, Black Star, is voiced by Yumiko Kobayashi, who also voiced Part 1, Jobro, PP Pants, Poco. Elizabeth Thompson, the older and taller of Death the Kid's Weapons, is voiced by Akeno Watanabe, who also voiced Gloria Costello, the deceased older sister of Hermes Costello from Part 6. Father Death is voiced by Rikiya Koyama, who also voiced Part 1, Jobro, and Hamon Master Will A. Zeppeli in the Lost Phantom Blood movie. Spirit Albarn. Is that Barn? Not Bam?
Albarn.
Spirit Albarn.
Maybe it's after Damon Albarn of Blur.
Oh, it could be. Some of these characters look like gorillas, so that would make sense.
It is Albarn.
Spirit Albarn, the father of Weaponmeister Maka and Father Death's personal weapon, is voiced by Toru Okawa, who is the JoJo TV series narrator. Little Witch Angela's personal bodyguard Mifune is voiced by unmistakable Kenjiro Tsuda, who voiced the honorable undead knight Bruford in Part 1 of JoJo, and stand user Tiziano from Part 5, the talking head user. The Little Witch Angela herself is voiced by Ayako Saito, who doesn't have a JoJo connection, but did voice Chiyo Mihama in the Azumanga online anime one-shot Azumanga Web Dayo. Egyptian necromancer Samantha is voiced by Reiko Suzuki, who did the TV version of Enya, the old lady stand user who had justice in JoJo. If you keep watching, a prominent character that gets their moment in Episode 9 just so happens to be voiced by Takehito Koyasu, aka Dio Brando, from the TV version of JoJo. I hope all is well with everyone. Mahalo, Chad. P.S. I don't know if this is what inspired you all to watch Soul Eater, but did you see that Megan Thee Stallion dressed up as Death the Kid for Halloween? Someone even added in her own versions of Patty and Liz. I did not know about this, but it looks like she crushed it. That's what I'm getting from this. You see the pictures, Jackie?
Yes. Sorry, I was zoning out. But yes, they look very cool.
Yeah.
Mark, show them to Chikis. She can't see them.
Oh, snap.
I'm Googling.
Okay.
Yo, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the nails.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The hair, like, great. I was like, I feel like the hair is probably the harder thing to pull off. Like, how do you do that? But it looks good.
Oh my God, that rules.
The little stripey stripe.
And the pictures of her with the, like, the guns, the gun ladies.
Yeah, someone did a good job drawing those.
That's great.
Yay.
Oh my God, I love it.
Thanks for writing, everybody.
Thanks for writing. You can also write to us.
Yes, you can. jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Alrighty. So as previously stated several times, we watched Soul Eater, which I can't help but want to read as Soul Eater.
Where's that from?
There you go. Chikas knows. The Metal Gear Solid 3 subtitle is Snake Eater.
Oh, okay.
I've listened to that song a lot. I have never played the game, but I've listened to that song a ton.
It's a great song. Did you know it plays
so good in
almost its entirety, or its entirety when you climb a like unending ladder in that game?
Yes.
It's insane.
Wait, I've seen this then.
They need their Bond credit sequence.
Anyway,
so good.
Soul Eater started as a manga that ran from 2004 to 2013. I think it was followed up by a sequel called Soul Eater Not.
Not uh-huh. as in
not.
Like that, or yeah. like you're tying a knot.
The first one.
Okay.
Not.
No. Is the not in parentheses?
I don't think so. I think it has an exclamation point or something.
It's probably like nigh or something, right?
No, I think Japanese? It's just not.
Like, it's like natto.
Like natto or something. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's about fermented bean paste or whatever.
No, isn't
it's an nai, exclamation point.
Not, is it like that when you say something is not true in Japan, you put nai at the end, right, in Japanese?
Yeah, but that could also just mean it's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Not.
It's by, but it's natto. It's all right. By Atsushi Okubo, who also did the Fire Force manga.
Okay.
And yeah, it looks like about halfway through its life, it turned into an anime that ran from spring 2008 through 2009. I think it was 51 episodes. Was done by the studio known as Bones, who did both Fullmetal Alchemist series, My Hero Academia, Mob Psycho 100. They do a lot of big shows.
They do the big popular ones, it sounds like.
Big. Well, they spun off of Sunrise, who did all the Gundams.
Mm.
And like Sunrise, they did the thing where they have like sort of mini studios, several studios that are like housed within them. So it seems like they're a big enough company to have a ton of shows and get a lot of work done. Yeah, and this was a very popular show on my anime list. It is the number 63 most watched show. And in its season, it was only second to Code Geass Series 2.
Mm.
Another show we've dipped our toes into. And yeah, people have said that this is... someone said the art style feels almost like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, I was getting... what's his name? The one guy I call Jack Skeleton in my notes.
Skellington. The Father Death guy?
No, the one that Megan Thee Stallion cosplays.
Oh, Death
as.
The Kid.
The Kid,
Death
yes.
Death the Kid.
That's
the
Jack
black and
Skellington.
White stripey guy.
Yeah.
I guess I could see that.
He has a little skull bow tie thing going on.
It's
very stripey.
Yeah, it's a very shonen-y show in that it's like...
You could tell this show is for 14-year-old boys. That's how I feel about it. It feels like Sailor Moon for 14-year-old boys because it's like there's all these different cool guy characters, and like if you're 14, you just pick one and you're like, I'm that guy, you know?
And there's tits.
And there's, yeah, and then there's the boobies.
There's tits, and some of the music was good. I liked the ending theme. I definitely liked the ending over the opening theme. And some of the, like the incidental soundtrack I thought was really good too. And I had another thought, but it's gone. Oh, I was going to say, like, the other thing that's very shonen-y about it is, like, right away it lets you know, like, we have a frame and a system. Like, this universe has a system where you have to collect 100 souls from evil people, or 99, and then a witch.
Is that really that's a shonen thing, I guess?
I don't know. I feel like it is, to just be, like, either, like, we have a tournament. This is about training for a tournament, or... my daughter was kidnapped and I must... Well, daughter would be not shown any, but like my sister was kidnapped and now I must kill 51 deadly assassins before she... You know what I mean?
Daughter was kidnapped is 24.
Seven evil exes.
Both good. Both good references, but they split my brain in half. Yeah, I guess other shows do have... Yeah, I mean, Scott Pilgrim is also for young people.
It's kind of a shonen.
24 is my daughter was kidnapped and now I have 24 hours? Or no, wait, 24...
To kill.
Is 24 his daughter gets kidnapped? Miles?
Yeah, his daughter gets kidnapped.
Yeah, his
sure.
daughter.
But is that like the base story of that show?
Is that every 24
base
hours?
Story. He's, in all of the seasons, he's fighting terrorism.
Yeah.
In brutal ways. He's also fighting civil rights.
He's fighting civil rights? Oh, yeah, because
he's fighting due process.
Right, it's very...
he's not into the rule of law.
Patriot Act TV type of show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but his daughter gets kidnapped.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of the wrong thing. I was thinking of the Liam Neeson movie.
Taken.
Taken.
That's what
Taken.
I was wondering if Miles was talking about, but I think there is a subplot in 24.
Okay.
It is.
Regardless.
Miles is a big 24 head.
If 24 were a shonen show, it would not be his daughter, and they would right away tell you something about how... like the format is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Boy, a lot of 3D in this, but I do applaud them for using it in a way that was like specific to its own aesthetic. Do you know what I mean? Like the 3D pre-rendered stuff didn't look like they were trying to pass off stuff that would be hand-drawn. They used it specifically for like exteriors and the sun and the moon.
Yeah, I guess.
That fucking sun and moon. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I curse?
Yeah. Yes.
I hate them.
Why do you hate them?
They're creepy as shit.
They are creepy, but I liked
them. I didn't really understand what their deal was.
I liked
them. At one point, the moon was like bleeding all over.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. They're a lot.
It's a metaphor.
For what?
For your period.
not in a shonen.
No. Yeah. All right. Jackie, what happens in episode one?
The show like starts with like there's an organization of justice to keep the peace. It tells us about lore, and there's a lot of words like Meister and seeds. I don't know. And I'm like, do I have to know all of this? But it turns out you don't have to know all of this. They just tell you at the beginning of every episode. And I'm guessing by the time like you've seen like 10 episodes, you have that part memorized and maybe you know what it means. Maybe you don't. That's my guess. But yeah,
and you're tired of it.
It's telling you that there's...
Yeah, you skip. Like that's your cue to go like get a snack. When they're like, oh, they're starting the story and the intro music, you know.
I feel like it was something like this is post-catastrophe of some kind.
Yeah.
And the Lord of Death has set up a system where he's like incentivizing everyone to go kill all of these like formerly human demon types and to take their souls and stuff. And he says, oh, it's a way of keeping peace and justice or something. Yeah. But I don't know if I believe that. But it comes at you very fast. And certainly at the beginning of episode one, I was like, oh, what the fuck are you talking about? And it's supposed to be some kind of academy for death weapon meisters. It's like the school is something like DWMA or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Death Weapon Meister Academy.
There you go. DWMA.
And there's a girl.
The fighting. What do you think their mascot is?
The fighting sickles, maybe? The fighting scythes?
The fighting reapers.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Oh, that's good. Fighting reapers.
Or like ravens or something.
Mm.
Something dark. We see a girl who's like running away or something, and a fucking monster that looks like Frosty the Snowman and Edward Scissorhands like at the same time. He has kind of like Frosty the Snowman's head and Edward Scissorhands.
But this is the enemy. It's kind of tan looking, right? It's not white.
Is it tan looking?
He was kind of tan and fleshy, but I also wrote down snowman.
He has like a carrot nose.
Oh, okay.
But it's Jack the Ripper, right?
But is a that, spider
that,
body.
That's right. Yeah. That's his name is Jack the
yeah,
Ripper.
Yeah, this is
apparently.
Jack the Ripper after he turned evil. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that kind of the implication?
Oh,
here?
I guess. So it's the demon?
Right, because like...
Isn't Jack the Ripper, already evil?
But that's what I'm saying, is like, if this is all post-regular humanity, is this like a more evil Jack the Ripper?
Anyway, he kills her with his scissor hands and he eats her soul. And then there's another girl screaming and running, and so he goes after her. And then, like, that's when the kid comes out with which one is the weapon and which one? I didn't write down the name of these people.
Soul Leader is the weapon, and the girl is Maka.
Maka, that's right.
Oh, right. Maka's cool, and then she has like a boy who's obsessed with being cool, and he is her weapon.
And he looks like he's one of the gorillas.
He does look like a gorilla.
Okay. And yet her name is Albarn.
Yes.
Albarn.
And I gotta say, it's really like if you're like, wow, which one of them is gonna be like the hero and win everything? I think the kid named Soul Eater might be an important character in this show.
True.
I get the feeling. If I were at that school, I'd be like, well, he's just gonna win. He's the name of the anime and the thing that we do.
It doesn't seem like they're in competition with each other, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know. Wouldn't you be racing to be the first death weapon scythe? I don't get the reward. I don't
they're
know.
They're already, one of them
I
wants
think there
to
are
be...
multiple death weapon scythes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's good. They're not competing.
I think they are in some level of competition, but they also seem like they would be like the friend group at the high school. So like their friend group is probably in competition with the other friend groups.
It could be. I mean, what if there's a scarcity of Kishin or whatever they're called, you know?
Kishin eggs. Eggs,
Kishin
right?
Eggs. Yeah.
They're not seeds, they're eggs.
They're eggs. Anyway.
I don't like the eating of souls. I think I could have done without eating souls, but I guess this is called Soul Eater, so you have to eat souls.
Why don't you, well, you don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like, I feel like it's overdone.
Do you think they chew them or they swallow them whole?
They swallow them whole.
It looks like you swallow them whole. I would swallow it whole.
They keep animating it, and like the Al Capone eating a soul animation I had to see like two or three times. I didn't like that. I didn't need to see a guy unhinge his jaw like a snake.
Like, why do you gotta eat the souls?
I don't know. It's easier than carrying a bag around.
I don't like it. You can use them for energy
or
something.
Digest the souls?
Yeah.
Or do they just like keep them in there? Poop.
It's zero calories.
They poop them out.
I think it stays in there.
What are the poops like?
Oh God, no. I bet you they're awful.
They just glow. They just glow. Yeah, they're painful. They burn and they fucking glow blue or something.
Oh, I would not want to do this. I'd be like, it's fine. I'll just get murdered or something.
So they fight Jack the Ripper. And his soul, they kill him. I didn't write a blow by blow of the fight, but they get him. His soul turns into a gem or what, an egg. I wrote gem, but in Sailor Moon, it would be a gem.
It's the prize. It's a prize.
And the weapon boy eats it. What's his name?
Soul Eater
eats it. And he's, you know, he's all like, I will become a death scythe. Scythe?
Yeah. Right?
I will become a death scythe once I eat the witch, because they've already eaten 99 souls from, what are these things called? Monsters?
Kishins.
Oh, that's what they are? They're Kishins?
I don't know if they're Kishins or the eggs are. I don't really care, but they're bad, evil people.
Okay. Well, he's gotten 99 of them together with his partner, and the last one needs to be a witch. Otherwise, we learn later, otherwise you have to start all over, which...
Ridiculous, bureaucratical.
It is really silly. Like, you know, now you got to eat 99 more? Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It feels like it's a kind of thing where you're going to get really good at killing the 99 Kishins.
Yeah.
But the witch, like, you only get to practice
every
100 attempts.
Yeah.
It's very early, like, video game difficulty level.
You should start.
There's no, like, ability to save.
Mm.
If I were them, I would try and kill a witch over and over again just to figure out, like, okay, these are the possible witches, the possible witch attacks. Then when you feel like you have a grasp on that, then go kill the 99.
Like, does a witch count? What is the Venn diagram of Kishin to witch?
I don't know.
Like, could you kill 99 witches and then another witch?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think they double count in this show. It feels too arbitrary to let you get away with things like that.
Mm. Also, witches seem like they're a lot harder. So, I mean, I don't know. It would just seem like a lot
of work. It also seems that there are some very dumb people who would be like, yeah, I'm going to kill all witches to get my shit.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, and I feel like there's not enough witches compared to the other, whatever they are, monsters.
Kishins? I'm going to look this up because now I'm like feeling weird.
It is Kishin. Kishin.
But is that what the creatures are, or do they just leave Kishin eggs?
I think the creatures are the Kishin.
Okay. Oh, wow. Sorry. Soul Eater Not is a prequel series. Anyway.
Someone explain how there can be weapons that are people. How does that work?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
How does that work?
Why are weapons people?
Like, why do they have people bodies?
Why are people weapons? Are they more people that can transform into weapons, or are they weapons that can transform into people?
Oh, I don't know.
I kind of saw them as weapons that transform into people.
That's what it seems like.
Not like a person trapped in a weapon.
Yeah. Explain. Listeners, explain.
I think this is all stuff that's going to be explained, because I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and because I just wanted to look up shit about Kishin. And it's explaining things from, like, the very beginning of the universe, I think.
Because I feel like I don't really care about the weapons because they're not real, you know? They're just objects that someone created. So I don't care.
That's interesting.
Like, you're not a person. You're just, like...
There are some games where, like, your weapons can level up. Maybe this is like that.
But they're people and they're like friends.
I was kind of uncomfortable, like, because of that fuzzy line between like person and possession. Mm-hmm. I was a little uncomfortable with like some of the relationship dynamics. Like,
yeah.
Oh, because you think there's a power dynamic.
Yeah. Like hearing the main person talking to their weapon like they own them. Like it was particularly in the second episode. So I can wait to comment on this until then. But.
Yeah, it does, the fact that, because to me, I think they are just both. Like, I think they're a person first, and then I'm hoping that they just decide that they function best as a weapon with someone they can somewhat get along with or tolerate. And I think it leads to one of probably the best fight sequence, in my opinion, in this, is the two girl gun gals.
I think that's episode two.
That's also episode two. Yeah, it's not this first one.
I think
one,
that one's episode three, actually.
Oh,
okay.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That, to me, I was like, oh, this whole system seems way more free form and like anyone should be able to control anyone and be a gun. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't know.
And so anyway, we learned that Maka's dad is the current Death Scythe, which is interesting because Maka is a person. She fights, but her dad is a Death Scythe. Is that right?
I don't know.
How can a weapon have a child that is not a weapon?
I don't think the weapons are just weapons. I think they're also people.
Maybe it's just their job.
You think they can fuck?
maybe their job is a weapon. Yeah. Maybe you get the power to be a
weapon. I hope the weapons only fuck other weapons. I don't want anybody...
But then how would they have a human child?
What, you're against the mixing of the races, Mark?
I don't think a weapon should be... Like, people are soft.
So you use the other end, Mark.
If it has one.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't need to get into this. There's probably lots of Rule 34 Google results.
Hentai.
Results.
So, yeah. But she also says at one point that she doesn't think of him as her father. And it seems like kind of a running joke. This show tries to be really funny, but I didn't think it was that funny, but it tries. And the kind of running joke is that he really desperately wants his daughter to like, just like him.
Yeah, but he can't stop fucking around and his parents, and so he's getting divorced from her mother.
Yeah.
Which is like a strangely, it's sort of a strange subplot to be in a show like this, but
yeah,
whatever.
And so he cries. He's like, I love you more than anything. Like, he's just like, I want to be a good dad. She's like, I don't even think of you as a father. Like, you're, I don't know. She's like, she's not like super mean to him, but she's kind of like, she's pretty neutral to him. Anyway, we learn that if you mess up on the witch, you forfeit the souls you collected along the way for some reason. And
well, because of the cat witch thing, right?
Right. Well, we learn, they say that before they go and fight the witch, and they're like, don't worry about that. We're going to go fight a witch. And they don't tell.
We have a real witch. Don't even worry.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, there's this sexy woman who is wearing a witch hat and looks like a witch in the bathtub. She's just a babe.
Like a witch.
And I was just like, this is like the Halloween, like sexy witch costume that people get, you can get for Halloween.
Yeah, you just need bubbles.
And
a witch hat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And big naturals.
And so Soul Eater, I don't know how he like rushes in and he ends up in her bathtub and between her boobs, and then his nose starts bleeding because it's basically a nose boner. They can't show a boner on the show, so they just have his nose bleed.
Yeah, but it's also funny to think it's not just to be like, oh, he's horny. It's to be like, he's a dumb nerd guy who doesn't know how to act around women. So when he gets horny, he just loses his shit.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
I wrote down that he's obsessed with being cool because he keeps saying like, a cool guy does this and that. And it's like, all right.
A cool guy also doesn't constantly think about how to be cool, but it's relatable. Yeah.
He's an anthropologist of cool.
Yeah. He's writing a book.
They fight for the first time. She uses a pumpkin Halloween cannon.
Oh, this is the witch you're talking about.
The witch. I don't know. They do. Oh, they have some fights, and then they give up and they try again the next day. Like, they have kind of a reoccurring fight going on.
Chicas, you were going to say something?
The pacing was like an Edgar Winter movie, where it just kept like cutting to the next day where they're like walking down the lane and then it cuts to them like, you know, having failed again.
Edgar Winter? Wait a minute.
Oh, God. Is that the wrong person?
Are you thinking
Wright?
Edgar Wright?
Yes, probably. Edgar Winter?
I don't know. I think, is one of the guys in his movies, does he have the last name Winter?
Maybe?
Anyway,
cut to Maka's dad. He's at what looks like a hostess club or something. What are they? It's like a maid cafe. I don't know.
Yeah, and the cafe he's at is called Chupacabras.
Yeah, which is cute. And there's some girls that he's flirting with. And they're just gossiping about him. They're like, I heard his daughter doesn't like him or whatever.
Yeah, because one of them asks about his personal life and the other one's like, don't talk about that because he's getting divorced and his daughter won't talk to him.
But they're like whisper handing it directly in front of his face.
They're crying. I mean, back to the witch. She has Halloween themed attacks, which is cool. They keep fighting her. But she also is like flirting with Soul Eater. Yeah, and she's just kind of like, oh, I'll fight you, Maka, for him or whatever. And he seems like he's kind of like he would rather be with her. And he calls Maka flat chested, basically, which is not nice.
It's not nice.
Basically.
What does he say? He calls her short stack.
He calls her short stacked, which took me a second because I would think of a short person, but I think he just, yeah, means like flat chested or something.
Like instead of like she's a brick house, instead of being like stacked, she's like not very stacked, you know?
Yeah.
Which is mean. And she's also very attractive. So I don't know what his problem is, but I don't know. He's just being a jerk. And so she kind of loses it because it seems like he's going to go with this sexy witch babe, and he's like any guy. She says something like, oh, he must be under your spell or something, and he's like, no, come on. He's like, any guy would want this babe over you, short stack. And she's like on the verge of tears, like, men are such low lives and you're a hypocrite, basically, and like, I don't know, all that stuff. And she's like, you can all just die. And I'm like, damn, she wants all men to die. But then he's like, you know what? It's not cool to cheat. And he kills the witch lady, but she's not a witch at all. Oops.
Yeah, he tricked her.
He tricked her. He tricked her and he tricked his partner because she didn't know what the plan was. So she was just like,
but that's the thing,
kind of heartbroken by the situation. But actually, oh, he's actually a loyal partner in this.
He's a double agent. That's what you do, is you don't, you know, your partner plays along because they don't know that they're playing along. They're just pissed for real.
But she's probably emotionally upset by it still.
Nah.
I would be.
I think this is reassuring for her.
I don't know, but she felt those real feelings for a little while, you know? I don't know.
It was 30 seconds.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, and it turns out that the witch... they wait to transform. They wait for soul to turn into a death scythe.
Oh, because he eats the soul. Okay, so he eats the soul. And he's like, with the eating the soul. Yeah. And then he's like, I don't feel anything.
Yeah. And they see a cat. And the cat starts talking as a witch.
And she's like, I never said I was a witch.
Yeah, because early into this interaction, when they're talking about her and they're going to go into her house, she goes, a witch? Like, she seems puzzled by it.
I thought from the beginning, I was like, they never confirmed that she was a witch. Even though, like, come on, what are you doing dressed up like a witch? She just wanted, I think she just, like, likes the aesthetic. She's just like,
she's a poser.
It's just like, if she's not a witch, this is very performative. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
But she does have powerful
just
magic.
Just because she dresses that way.
Right?
Doesn't mean you can just kill her.
Well, this is the thing then, is if you're going to hunt a witch after this, you have to be like, excuse me, can you please tell me truthfully, are you a witch, please?
Tap her on the shoulder. Pardon me.
If I ask you, you have to tell me.
So it's interesting, they eat the soul, but the cat's still alive. Is that just because cats have 9 lives? Is that the deal?
Yeah, that's what she says.
Okay.
She says, don't you know cats have 9 lives?
Yeah, but they have one soul.
Apparently not.
Nope. 99 souls.
9 souls?
Yeah.
That's too many souls.
99 yeah. souls and a witch ain't one.
Yeah, because, yeah, right, exactly. Well, no, he ate 100. He ate 99 evil eggs and one cat.
One cat soul,
one
yeah.
One cat soul. Yeah, and then the episode is ending and it kind of starts to intro what the next episode will be about, which is a guy named Black Soul who is...
Black Star.
Black Star.
Black Star.
Which might be a reference to the hip-hop duo.
I was wondering. I was like, there's definitely a group or a rapper with that name.
Mm-hmm. Is half of it Talib Kweli, I think?
That
it's Mos Def and Talib Kweli.
There you go.
He's a person, not a weapon, and he has a weapon, and she looks like Ibuki from Street Fighter.
She does. She is some kind of... It's not shinobi. There's a specific name for female. Kunoichi, I think, for female ninjas. But she's naked whenever she's the weapon. They haven't given us an excuse for that yet, but every time she shows up in the blades, she's nude.
Mm.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's not an excuse.
What's the excuse?
I was kind
guys?
Of hoping that it was just like a strapless top.
I could be wrong.
No.
But to me, I was like, this is, what the fuck is this?
She's also always bathing.
Yes. She does need to always go up to the public bath.
That's how she recharges.
Oh.
That's how we all should probably take more baths to recharge, you know?
So
public
yeah.
bath, anyone?
Yeah, let's all just take a bath.
We did it in Japan. And the guys there stared at me. It was weird.
Oh.
It was weird.
I was the only non-Asian guy in there. So I think they were like, what the fuck?
They didn't stare at you.
They did.
Really?
They looked at me, at least.
Okay. And
you didn't. But it was, overall, it was a cool experience. But yeah.
I didn't like it. Well, I was with the ladies. But I didn't like it.
Too bad. It already happened. Nothing we can do.
Anyway, so Black Star is up against Al Capone and his men. Al Capone likes to dine on souls of nice people, I think, right?
Yeah, regular people.
Not mm-hmm. bad people. So that's why he's got to go.
He's got to go.
What's the deal with like all the historical references of like Jack the Ripper and Al Capone? Are these just like the... Who are they? Are they reincarnations? Are they...
I just kind of figured that they were like villains that decided to base their personality around this like well-known historical criminal.
Yeah, I can't tell because it's, again, in my head at first from the concept, I was like, oh, so it's like post-apocalyptic in some way. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe this whole thing is the dream of the god Death. You know? He just fell asleep. On a nice afternoon,
I like his personality. He seems like a chill bro.
Death?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the least imposing he's ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, he does hit that guy a lot, but he deserves it, in my opinion.
Wow.
And Jackie, based on what you were saying earlier about Tim Burton, I wrote down that the like his whole area with the like the clouds and the door frames and everything, like Death's Zone, reminds me of the... Do you guys remember the Beetlejuice cartoon
yes.
from the early yeah. 90s? That's what it reminds me of. His little area reminds me of Beetlejuice.
I could definitely see that. And even the Beetlejuice movie, I think, they do open a door at some point and there's the giant sandworm or whatever and it's all stripey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. The cartoon had more of that stuff. I think you're about to get into it, Jackie, but...
He fights Al Capone and his men, kind of, but they get away and then he finds out that Al Capone is like, he wants to kill a little... adorable little baby witch named Angela.
Well, you skipped over what I was going to point out here is that he keeps talking about stealth and the essence of stealth and blending in with the dark. And then he just jumps down to make a direct head-on assault on Al Capone. But I'm even annoyed that his weapon is two blades attached to chains. Mm-hmm. Possibly the least stealth weapon to fucking carry around, just jingling, jangling everywhere. People are going to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And yeah,
so I think I hate Black Star.
Not a fan.
He wasn't my
He's
favorite.
He's my least fave. And I feel like Tsubaki is being held hostage by him. Like, this is the relationship that I am uncomfortable with. And I hate it.
It's a weird one.
I do like the way this episode resolves, but yeah.
I don't remember why I wrote this, but I write, these boys are just horny, horny hot dogs. I don't know. I don't know. I think I meant to write horn dogs. I think I meant to write horn dogs, but it autocorrected.
No, you're right. You're correct.
Oh, also, I just checked my notes because I always forget that I have notes until Jackie mentions hers. But in episode one, there's like a commercial burp. There's a commercial bump.
A commercial burp.
There's a commercial bump. like they went to break, and you know, sometimes anime would play like a da da da, you know, sound thing.
Yeah.
They play something that sounds like fucking Cisco. It sounds like the thong song in the middle of episode one. And they're like, da da da, so scandalous, and it's like Soul Eater. And I'm like, why am I thinking about thongs? This is so weird. But there, I feel like there's a lot of this time Western music references happening. And one of the cat witch's spells, she yells Smashing Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yes. I did love that.
Da-da-da-da.
So yeah, then Black Star and her name is Tsubaki, right?
Tsubaki.
They go because they found out about this witch that Al Capone wants to murder.
Little Angela. He wants to, I don't know what, but if he kills her, he'll become unstoppable. I don't know why.
And so, yeah, they go there, and I think that the bodyguard, Mifune, already killed Al Capone and his men, because there's a bunch of souls already there, right?
Yep. Yeah.
His name is Mifune. Why, Miles? Why is his name Mifune?
Why is his name Mifune?
I thought you'd know this.
Is it after
Miles,
Toshio Mifune?
Toshiro? Mifune, yeah, who was an actor who played a lot of samurai in Akira Kurosawa movies. He is the actor you should think of if you think of a samurai movie.
So did I get it right?
You did.
Where's my money?
Have a treat.
I'm going to send you a $1 bill in an envelope to your old address. Hope you have forwarding still going.
I don't think I do.
So then Black Star and Tsubaki fight Mifune, whose style, at one point he says infinite blade something, and he has a big box filled with katanas. He throws
May I point out a limited number of katanas, not an infinite.
Yeah, it's
number
not really
of katanas.
An infinite. Well, maybe there's like a UPS van backing up with like more katanas. We don't really know.
Is it like a Mary Poppins box? You know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's hammer space
going on at the bottom.
Yeah.
Once it's empty, it refills.
He throws. I don't know.
Why do they call it a hammer space instead of a Mary Poppins space?
Because in the Looney Tunes, they would always pull a hammer out of like where? I don't know. Just, it's always like behind their back.
Do you
think
that precedes Mary Poppins, though?
Yes.
They should call it a Enigma paper, like the Enigma stand user in part 4 did, where he could fold a copy machine into a piece of paper and a gun and other objects. That's a great stand. So yeah, Mifune throws these katanas all over the place, and they seem to just serve as like backup katanas. In case one is disarmed. I thought they were going to like fly around him or like close in on the enemies or something, but he's just setting up spare katanas.
No, his special move is just carrying a box full of katanas with him.
It he's kind of like a Boy Scout. He's like, you never know when you're going to need a spare. So they fight back and forth. I feel like it seems like he's going to win or something, but he doesn't. He hits Black Star with the back of his sword, so it just kind of stuns him. And then they decide to fight again, I think?
I don't know. At some point, Little Baby Witch Angela comes out, and they're like, it's a baby! She's so cute!
No, but I think the thing that I'm getting
so,
at... Maybe
Mifune
you got it, Chigas.
Mifune slashes Black Star because he won't stop talking. So he's like, tries to make a sneak attack and announces himself. And of course, Tsubaki is like, no, you idiot, you need to stop talking. And then because Mifune hears him, he turns around and hits him with the back of the sword. But then they trick Mifune where he like throws a smoke bomb and Tsubaki makes herself look like him. And so he's talking to Tsubaki, who he thinks is Black Star, while real Black Star is sneaking up behind him. And Black Star punches him, which completely disables him. And that's when Angela comes out.
Right. Yeah. He does some kind of move and he's like, actually, I am the stealthiest. But I'm like, no, you should have lost before. Your target was just nice and hit you with the other end of his sword. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then Angela, the little adorable witch, appears and is like, please don't kill me. And they're like, oh, she's a little baby.
Yeah. And the bodyguard guy is like, I'll defend her to the death. And the guy, what's the guy's name?
Black Star?
Black Star is like, I can't hurt a little baby. If I slew a child, it would haunt my sleep. And so he just like leaves. I don't know.
Which is what Mifune said to him earlier.
It's the same thing that Mifune said to him. Yeah.
So now I think to him, he's probably like regaining some confidence, mm-hmm. you know, because before he was cut down to just being a child. And now he's like, well, I'm not a baby.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be cool and walk away. This is how guys learn to be cool, really, is you just watch someone older than you be cool.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And you just do it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Sounds right.
That's why I watch so many movies from the 1930s. You know?
That's why you're always saying, see?
Yeah, that's why I'm always saying.
You have a packet of cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve.
Yeah. And I'm always saying, aw, nuts, when something goes bad. Jackie and I watched a reel on YouTube of like old movie film bloopers and all these black and white movies when they like ruin a line. Some of them just say shit or God damn it, but a lot of them go, ah, nuts. And I think we got to bring that back.
When I'm at school, my go-to like cuss in class is butts, which is very close.
The kids must love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's great because it started like just coming to me naturally now. I don't have to try to say butts instead of something else.
Yeah. It doesn't sound anymore like butts, right?
Right.
Butts.
Mother butts.
It's hard for me not to drop off our baby at daycare and be like, anyway, I love that little fucker. Bye. You know, that's like, that's what my heart is saying. But I don't want to say that to the professionals in front of children. Anyway.
Episode 3. This is guy who looks like Jack Skellington and the two...
Death the Kid.
That's Death the Kid and the two girls, the two gun babes, Patty and Liz.
Yeah, their last name is Thompson, which is a reference to the famous Thompson submachine gun that actually appeared in JoJo towards the beginning of part 2.
The Tommy gun.
Oh.
Yes. If you're nasty.
Oh.
Yes.
I am nasty.
Thomas Armament.
So he has a thing about symmetry, and for some reason, the boobs on the girls.
No. He has OCD.
Yeah, he has OCD.
He can barely function because of this.
It's Jake
he has
drives him crazy.
Crippling OCD.
It started to annoy me. Like at the beginning, the idea of him wanting to go home and check the painting, I was like, okay. But then he wouldn't stop talking about symmetry. And I get it. He's compensating because he is not symmetrical. He could easily be symmetrical, though. He just has to dye parts of his hair.
Or shave his head.
Yeah. Megan Thee Stallion did it.
It's true.
Did she do it? Was she symmetrical?
No, but she dyed her hair the way he has his hair.
Oh,
so
right.
All he has to do is unnaturally dye his hair on one side. But then he'd obsess over little tiny differences. Anyway.
I didn't really take
good notes. Do guns seem fair?
What do you mean?
Like... I don't know.
Like
if
in
I'm
the show.
At the weapons lined up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not just like morally, but
and he
like
has dual guns.
He has two guns.
I think the idea is if you're fighting monsters and people who have like ethereal weapons, regular guns actually aren't that good. So you have to have special guns. And then
so
it's
can,
there.
Can these weapons turn into anything? Because Tsubaki has a few different forms, but like everybody else just kind of sticks to their one thing. Like, could Death Scythe turn into a gun?
Everyone should be able to
I would just want guns.
I think Tsubaki can only turn into ninja-themed weapons, though. Like, she turns into a giant shuriken. She turns into the...
Smoke bomb.
Smoke bombs, the fake, the decoy. She's all just ninja-themed stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guns are only handguns. They don't seem like they can combine into a bigger gun or something. And yeah, what is it? Basically, he's just going after a big bounty. He's going to go kill a pharaoh, which is weird. Because I thought these were people who chose to eat human souls and became evil. But a pharaoh is just a mummy who is asleep.
He's like, I got to go in there and wake a mummy and beat the shit out. No, he's a...
He was a necromancer.
Yes.
The witch is creating the mummies.
And Death the Kid is the son of... the Reaper guy. What's his name? Is his
Lord
name just Death.
Death?
Okay.
Yeah.
Lord
Daddy.
Death.
Death and Death Jr.
Death Daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So they sent him because this is an important, difficult mission.
Well, she's creating mummies to resurrect an evil pharaoh. Oh, so I guess they just have to defeat the pharaoh because it is now a creation from a witch. Got it.
Mm. Right. And there was they show like a diagram of how like the mummies kill people and that makes more mummies. And then it's just like a pyramid scheme of mummies.
It is a pyramid scheme.
A pyramid scheme?
Any scheming you do in a pyramid is a pyramid scheme.
Oh, boy.
The really tough thing is to find a Ponzi building. I don't know what that looks like. So like for a lot of the fighting through the regular mummies, Liz and Patty Thompson fight on their own. Her name's not Potty. I didn't say that.
They kind of at one point they switch off. One of them is human, and the other one's a gun. And then they switch. And
this was the coolest part to me.
Yeah, I loved when they were just each other's weapons. They don't even need him.
They don't need him.
It was really cool.
I thought this was cool, and yeah, it makes you wonder. Like, well, then what is the line between human and weapon? You know, because you'd think a weapon would be like, oh, I can't even attack on my own. I need a human partner. Mm-hmm. To throw me around and stuff. But like, they don't need this guy. This guy's busy obsessing.
The weapons should just pair up with each other.
Yeah. You should have a guy who could fire a gun and turn into a close range weapon.
There you go.
And then the gun person could throw the weapon, you know? But no, you have to have a regular person who gets to make all the one-liners and gets distracted.
Ridiculous. So
they eventually do face the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh somehow captures the women and holds them in a way that makes their boobs almost pop out of their clothes.
And then he gets a nosebleed
the
or something.
Worst.
He gets a nosebleed, but he also first says like, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, when he comes in and
sees
them.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry for intruding. And he goes to turn around.
he's a classy guy, kind of.
And they're like, no, save us.
And we know that in the manga, somehow this is worse. I don't know which aspect exactly. But
oh, this is the part that's worse?
Something about either the mummies attacks or attacks to the mummies or the pharaoh.
The mummies were very licky. They were lickier
yeah,
than
like
I
that.
Thought they were going to be.
You don't expect a lot of licking from mummies, right? You think a lot of dried up, shrunken parts, not, you know,
a lot
golden
of
retriever.
Giggly lickiness.
Gross. Yeah, something with the pharaoh is more brutal, and we didn't have to see it, thankfully. And then
Hooray.
Death the Kid shows up. Is able to free the girls, and then when he's fighting, yeah, he's in a sarcophagus, which is perfectly symmetrical, and he's hurting Kid, Death the Kid. And then when he comes out of a sarcophagus, he's all asymmetrical, and so Kid gets very pissed at him and then kills him. They end up
which,
accidentally.
Again,
go ahead.
It felt very like self-hatey, because he's also asymmetrical.
Yeah,
and he was taking it all out on this other asymmetrical being, and he didn't just kill him. He like really fucked him up.
He should be in therapy, I think.
Yeah.
They end up destroying the pyramid, and therefore Kid has to surrender all of the souls that he collected, which is weird. This whole thing, no one told us that there are penalties that also, I mean, I guess a pyramid isn't like, you know, it's not a 7-Eleven. There's not that many pyramids. They're monuments of antiquity. But, like, these are kids with powers. They're going to blow shit up. I don't think he should have to give up all his souls. He killed a very powerful being. I think maybe half of his souls he should have kept.
Did he have to give up his souls? That's sad.
Yeah. He destroyed the pyramid of Anubis.
Did, in the second story, so we saw the first story, he lost his souls in the, or she lost her souls, I guess, in the third one. Well, no, I guess the boy is the center of the first one too, even though he's the weapon, because we care more about him turning into a death scythe. But they lose all their souls in the second one. Does he lose his souls?
So in the second one, they have 100 souls that are there for him to take, because the bodyguard kill all of
Al
Capone.
Right,
they don't take those 99 regular souls, and they don't want to kill.
It'd be too easy.
It'd be too easy, and he doesn't want to kill the little girl because she's a little girl. And the Lord of Death tells him, like, you should have just taken all those 99 souls. But he's like, I want to do my own thing.
Oh, no. He did take them, but he turned them in. He turned them into death. Yeah. And he's like, I don't need to take these. Like, I didn't earn them.
That's nice of him.
Okay, so it's the three.
Yeah, it was the one redeeming thing.
Three stories of three different. Really, the guys are the ones we. Oh, in the first one, the girl was cool. So she's the only girl that's like a person, I guess.
Tsubaki is a person. She's just being held hostage.
Yeah, I guess I feel bad for her. But she's also like a babe, which is fine. But I think that like the show,
it's good for her.
The show like doesn't, I feel like it doesn't really promote the babes to be like a character on their own that you're supposed to identify with, you know? That's how I
like Maka, though. I do
Whereas
like her.
Maka is like Maka. Cool, and she's like, I guess she's supposed to be unattractive, but she's not. She's also very pretty. But
yeah, I want Maka and Tsubaki to tag.
Oh yeah,
to team up.
Cut out these like immature boys who like are useless.
I want Black Star and Soul Leader. Like they just they need.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah. Do they have to be hetero relationships? The Meister size.
Yeah.
Relationships.
That is a good point. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, mix it up. Trade weapons.
Who's the best at killing evil people? You know?
That's right.
And yeah, at the end of episode 3, it says, like, the prologue has ended, which was nice. Again, it's very format heavy. They're like, this is how our world works. It is based on numbers of things, except when we make comedic exceptions. And the prologue of the anime is over.
It was very much like a kid's book, like walking you through the rules of the game before you play.
Yes.
So which one is your favorite?
Well, this is tough because I think like Chikus, I want to mix and match. And it's like, I want the two lady guns to be their own.
Yeah, just by themselves. Yep.
Death the Kid should just talk to a professional about
yep.
learning to cope with his mental illness. It's. I can tell you how to talk to people, Death the Kid, if you want to DM me. And then, yeah, I think they should do the gender match that you guys are proposing. There yeah. should be Soul and Maka and Tsubaki, and Soul and Black Star. That's what I think.
Yeah, I only liked Maka.
Damn.
I kind of like Soul Eater. Like he's kind of like a. Are they all Hot Topic kids? I wrote down one of them was a Hot Topic kid, but now that I think about it,
they're all Hot Topic kids
in a different way.
But different areas of Hot Topic.
But I like his, like, he just wants to be cool. But that's like his kind of guiding principle to like be a good person. It's just like, you know, cool guys are like good. And I like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing is it'd be way more annoying and totally likely still in a shonen anime if he was like, I just want to have sex with a busty babe before I die, you know? So it's cool that he's more like, I have to be a cool dude. Because I think all boys at a certain point, you're like, oh, I need to be cool. How do I be cool? Jackie and I went on Saturday to a Japanese bookstore. And there were some, I guess they're kids, maybe they're young adults, were walking by. And the girl had a very tiny backpack that said Soul Eater on it. It was a Soul Eater themed little backpack. And she
That's
had all
so cute.
All sorts of pins and Hot Topic shit.
Shout out to that girl.
Yeah, I debated
it. And Hot Topic.
I thought it'd be funny to be like, Excuse me. We're on vacation from our child for this afternoon, but we have a podcast and we're about to cover Soul Eater.
You need podcast business cards for when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did that when you were here, Mark.
I did do that when I was in North Carolina.
That cashier.
Because you met a guy named Jojo, right?
No.
Is that what happened? Or his name was Rohan or something?
His name was Gyro.
Oh, his name was Gyro. Okay.
Yes.
That's
a real name.
It is a Jojo character.
But it's a real name, right?
Eventually.
Oh, it is a real name. Yes. No, it is a Jojo character.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah, I do need business cards. We need to get some mocked up. I also want to get that bumper sticker that says my other car is a fucking turtle stand or whatever. I got to figure out how to make that work. I also thought that it'd be good to have a decal that instead of baby on board, it says baby behind the wheel. I thought that would be more eye-catching if people had to think about their own safety.
Somebody around here has a car.
May or may not love that.
That's true.
Somebody around here has a car. It's in the style of like the Supreme logo and it says hentai. And I think they would listen to our podcast.
They might.
Are you sure it wasn't hentai homie?
Maybe it was the hentai homie. Could be.
Dare I ask who the hentai homie is?
Just a listener.
One of our listeners. Oh, that's his, he goes by hentai homie.
And yeah. A merchant marine.
Long time.
No way.
The pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Soul Eater has had a lot of adaptations. I don't think it's had a stage play, unfortunately. It's a real bummer, guys.
That's so apparently... when will you guys be booking your theater time?
Ooh. Just have to find the right actors. We have to go audition some scythes. What a horrible word to say, huh? Overall, I don't think I would continue to watch Soul Eater. It's a little
I didn't like it.
It's a little too slapsticky for me.
Yeah, a little silly.
I do like it. I like its style to a degree, but I agree with Chad that it is very 2000s. It's not early 2000s. It's just 2008 mm-hmm. and 9 and stuff. I could tell that it wasn't super 2000s because it's widescreen. You know, if it was 4:3, you'd be like, oh man, where are we at?
Great looking, lots of style. So far, not a lot of substance.
Yeah, just not
like me.
yeah, not for me. I did like what we saw of Fire Force, though, by the same author. But hey.
Hey.
But hey.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay. So any other stray thoughts or should we wrap things up?
I want to know what your weapon would be.
Oh, if I could turn into a weapon? Meister. Oh, if I were the Meister, what weapon would I
have? Either way. Let's make it what you would turn into because it's less fraught.
I think either way, it's fun to sneak in a reference to a trebuchet whenever possible. So I'd be a trebuchet.
Ooh, or to that's wield awesome.
I'd like to learn how to load up a trebuchet. I think I knew when I was like 14.
It would take a long time.
It probably does, right? You got to figure out how to make
you
all the tension.
You need to be like an automatic trebuchet.
Oof.
I want to be a crossbow.
Oh, that's cool.
I think projectile.
I was also thinking.
Oh.
I was going to do a bow and arrow. I like that.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a tractor.
That's not a weapon.
That's not a weapon.
Huh?
That's not a weapon. That's
depends
something
you wield it.
To make food.
I'm turning my swords into plowshares.
Oh, okay. Very good. You're not a person who transforms into a weapon. You're a weapon that turns into a tool.
That's right.
Okay. This is a special Bible episode.
It's like Transformers.
I was going to say,
right?
Miles is the like dollar store Transformers version of what the rest of us are doing.
Miles like, watched a totally right. different fucking show. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to tell us stuff that we missed about Soul Eater or other shows that are similar to Soul Eater or your thoughts about other anime, I don't know. Or if you're from a video game company and want to make us play your game, you can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at JJBpod. Our Patreon is patreon.com/JJBpod. There is a Discord started by a listener of this podcast, and we're in there because we have free time. So look in the description of this episode for how to join that Discord.
Aren't you going to screen a movie soon, Mark?
Yeah, I'm planning on screening something in the Discord. I don't know which day I'm going to do it yet, but I think we're going to start with the movie Cruising from 1980 or so. It's the gay slasher movie starring Al Pacino.
Why'd you choose that?
Directed by the director of The Exorcist. I chose it because I was watching behind the scenes about that movie and I was like, man, I got to watch this movie again.
We saw it in theaters
and the person who presented it was Randy Jurgensen, the undercover cop who was a consultant on the movie.
That was cool.
And he was in the movie and I really wanted to be like, did you hook up with any dudes? But I didn't think that was appropriate. So I didn't ask him. But anyway, yeah, at some point
such
in the district, I'll screen that movie. As for what we're watching next week, I think we currently don't know. So we might figure it out. We might see if we owe Patreon supporters an episode. But if you've got $15 and you want to hear us oddly recap an anime of your choosing, patreon.com/JJBpod is how you do it. Until then, folks, remember, your weapons are humans too. Thanks for being on, Chicas. Goodbye.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yay!
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.